Chambers. Craig, are you here?
Yes, I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Pleasure to be here with you.
Talk a little closer to this gizmo here.
All right.
And you are the guy who is the creator behind something known as Mission Del Rey.
That's right.
Southwest.
Sure.
Okay, now Mission Del Rey is one thing, and you added Southwest because it became another thing.
Well, that's kind of true. It kind of evolved. And what can I tell you about it?
Well, the thing is, it's an unusual store now, but also the history of where it began. It began as a Christian mission.
Yeah.
And that would be you. You were a Christian missionary.
That's right. Well, do you want to hear the story of how we got there? Or
yeah,
can
indeed.
We talk about the Tarahumara?
Please. What? Okay. And you were in what part of Mexico were you in?
Well, just about 450 miles south of here. If you go straight down to Chihuahua City and then go southwest into the mountains, Creel. They pronounce it Creel. But it's C-R-E-E-L, Chihuahua, about 8,000 feet elevation, down in the pine forest. They call it the Sierra Tarahumara, and that's where we went and started.
Is that in the Copper Canyon or Sierra Madre, which, you know, because I know pretty much they're in the Copper Canyon area,
that
correct?
That whole range, and, you know, the Tarahumara became famous for living in that, they call it the Barrancas del Cobre,
which is
the Copper Canyon.
Copper Canyon, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's an interesting place, by the way, just in itself, because it's five canyons larger than the Grand Canyon.
Wow.
And deeper
oh, really?
Than the Grand Canyon.
Five times larger?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Is it trees? I've never been there.
Yeah, it's pine forest. It's a lot like if you went to Ruidoso. It's that same kind of a climate.
But is it 1,000 feet deep like the Grand Canyon?
Oh, no. I'm talking about that the
area?
The trees and what it looks like there. But no, there's a place, like you just asked, the town of Creel was about 30 miles from a place called the Divisadero, which is the divide. So you would go up the mountain even farther. Sorry, I'm looking the other way.
People often look around the microphone, and you'll notice that the voice just
kind
of goes with it.
Yeah, you look at the people you're talking to. Yeah.
You're not used to radio like we are.
No,
because
I'm not a radio guy.
We talk into these things all the time. But the idea of your mission, how did you get into the mission business?
Well, we were from Phoenix, and somebody came through town, some kind of missionary group that had been to Mexico, and they told the stories of the Tarahumara Indians, and they had planned a trip, so we went down with them to meet these people and to see what it was like down there. And so we went down, spent a week. We went out into some of these rustic rural areas, met the Tarahumara people, and fell in love with them. And I guess our work all began with one lady whose name was Maria Rosa. She was sitting out by the lake, and we'd gone out there. It was a popular place where people would go for a Dia de Campo, they call it, just for a picnic. And we met her and began to talk to her and get to know her. And she said that she started sharing some of their needs and, you know, the fact that, you know, how they lived. And we got to know that family really well. And that was really the seed of what started there. So, you know, we kind of came away with this feeling that, hey, somebody needs to do something about this.
There was nobody down there working for them or with them?
There is, and there were. You know, Mexico's a big place. There's a lot of people down there helping people. But for us, we just got the bug. You know, we felt like I said, somebody's got to do something to help these people. And then it occurred to us that, hey, we're those people.
Being your wife, Deb.
Yeah, that's right.
And your daughter was...
And our kids. We have three kids, Jessica, Isaac, and Bethany. And so they were raised down there in the mountains of Mexico. And then, of course, later as they grew up, they came back up and went to the States to college. But they grew up down there. They speak Spanish better than we do. And, boy, I'll tell you what, trying to learn Spanish, that's really something. Or trying to learn any language,
yeah.
You know.
Because they also speak, the Uto Aztecan, correct?
Well, that's
something like
that's
that.
The language group, I think. But they, well, I don't know what they call it. We call it Tarahumara. They speak Tarahumara. But, yeah, the language group is that Uto Aztecan, which, you know, how they divide people groups up by
yeah.
language, much like they do here, like we call the Tigua Indians because they speak Tigua.
Right.
So it's the same type of a concept. But, it's an odd language. And something that I thought was interesting as we began to know the people and learn the language a little bit, we never formally learned Tarahumara. We did study Spanish so that we could communicate. And most of the Tarahumara are bilingual. So they would know Spanish and also their own dialect. But now some of the people, like we started to say, up there by the Divisadero and beyond, down in the canyons, those people were a little bit different even than the people that we met in the area where we lived. because they would have different words for different things, and culture was all about the same, but just a difference there. And so sometimes they would speak among each other and not know exactly what the other one was saying, but get most of the words and understand the gist of the story.
But Spanish would be the common thing you got into.
In the area where we were. Now, down in the canyons, some people didn't even speak Spanish.
But are these primarily native, what's the right word? They're pure natives as opposed to mestizo.
Well, yeah. There are pure-blooded Tarahumara Indians, and they would be the original, you know, indigenous people. But then now they've, you know, married with others and things like that. So you've got all kinds of a blend of people down there.
How many people are we talking about there in that tribe?
You know, I don't know for sure, but I think one time I heard around 70,000.
70?
Yeah, 70,000.
Wow.
And they're spread out all over the canyons. What happened was, you know, when the Spaniards came north, and they were looking for minerals. You know how all the stories about silver and gold.
Seven cities of gold.
That's right. And, you know, and the Fountain of Youth and all those things. They came looking for that stuff. And the Tarahumara are basically shy people and kind of keep to themselves. And it's an agriculturally based community. So they grow their food. And, you know, I think it was, what's the name of that magazine that we all know about and I can't remember the name of?
Playboy?
Yeah, no, not that one.
What first comes to my mind is Playboy.
Well, sorry about that.
Like National Geographic?
That's it, sorry.
Oh, one of those.
I had to think something
along those lines, yeah.
Yeah, well, National Geographic did an article about the Tarahumara, and they classified them, or they called them, North America's most primitive people.
Oh.
And I thought that was really interesting. And if any of the listeners ever get a chance to go down there, have you been down there?
No.
Okay.
No, I've been down to Chihuahua and the other areas of Casas Grandes. It's a fascinating place.
Okay, yeah, there's tons of great history down there, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, with the Tarahumara in the area down there, where we're talking about in the Sierra Tarahumara, it's just they're amazing people. And because they're at like 7,000 or 8,000 feet in elevation, they get winter, you know.
Yeah.
And so they have to grow their food in the summer and then store it for the winter. And they really have some hardships sometimes. And so it's because of that, mostly. Of course, we were Christian missionaries, and so we're always interested in people and helping people and sharing the gospel and helping them on a spiritual level. But when you're with people like that, that are so needy, you got to realize these people, some actually live in cliffs, mm-hmm. and they'll take stones and make a wall like you've seen cliff dwellings. They're mm-hmm. actually families that live like that. They'll make little like log rooms, you know, with a log, like with like the settlers used to do with the sod on the roof.
Right.
They'll do that. Some of them will make something out of stone. Little house, maybe 10 feet by 12 feet, and that's the house, and the whole family will live in there.
But they spend a lot of time outside, I'm guessing.
But they spend most of their time outside. So what happens is, you know, it's kind of like it used to be, I guess, here in the olden days. When it gets dark, you go to bed, and when the sun comes up, you get up, you know.
Pretty much.
And you go out and sit on a rock to get warm, you know.
Yeah.
And they cook on fires outdoors and, you know, have like a little wood-burning stove inside to cook and heat their home with. But so they really are primitive people.
Right. Are they still like that today?
They're still like that today.
Yeah, very much so. Let me ask you, they have this long-distance running.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? Why was that? Well, because they had to travel so far to get supplies and such?
You know, they're just really strong people because they live in those canyons. They don't have cars or bicycles.
Yeah.
And so just by walking, and if you had to get from, say, this village to the next one 5 miles away or whatever, the only way you're going to get there is to walk.
Yeah.
Or if you needed to send a message to the other town, you know, they'd send a runner. I think it's just because of that, but for whatever reason, they became very adept at running. And, you know, if you were down in those mountains at that elevation and climbing the mountains, you'd be huffing and puffing. And, and they run up and down those things like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And they became world-renowned. Actually, you know, even like up in that Leadville 100, you've probably heard of that race up in mm-hmm. Colorado.
Yeah.
I heard one time that someone sponsored them to go up there and run in the race because they'd become world-renowned for running.
For a few years ago, there was someone that they just had. I remember there was a big talk about that.
Well, the thing is, what happened, somebody sponsored this team and took them up there, and they were going to run. Well, something we haven't talked about yet is the way they're dressed. But they wear huarache sandals mm-hmm. that are made out of a tire tread.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The most unique thing you've ever seen. They take old tires, cut it out the shape of their foot, take some leather thong lacing wrapped around their foot and up their ankle. Well, that's what's common to see everybody wearing when they're walking and running.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, down there they have a race that's kind of a game that they play,
yeah,
where they kick a ball as they go. So they'll divide up into teams, kick the ball, and they'll run over the mountains and through the rocks. And
jeez,
if that ball gets down in the rocks, they got to dig it out, you know. But they become famous for the running. So someone sponsors them, brings them up to Colorado and places like that, puts them in one of those running races. And it was funny because this sponsor wanted to help them. So they bought them some really expensive running shoes. And they thought, okay, this is going to give us an edge. We'll get these good runners with these good running shoes, and they'll be great. And the guys really appreciated it, put them on, but they couldn't run in them.
Because they were so used to,
yeah, they're
running
so
the
used
flat
to the
shoes.
Sandals. Yeah, so they ended up just taking them off and putting their sandals back on to run the race.
Interesting crowd there. And part of your, we've got a break coming up here, but part of what you did as a missionary was figure out who they were, what they needed.
Yeah.
And there would be trains coming through with tourists all the time.
Right.
And the tourists would then buy some of their stuff, but not buy all of it. And then what happened?
Well, what we began to see as we became friends, and you know, our philosophy was we wanted to help them, but we didn't want to do it for them. We wanted to figure out a way to help them help themselves. And we saw that they had economic problems. And they had this thing, like you mentioned, where the train would come through. That came through in about 1960 from then on. So, and it goes through the whole Copper Canyon over to the coast, by the way.
A couple times a week or day? Or
yeah, every day.
Oh, every day.
And tourists began to come down there. And so it became kind of a stop for tourists. And then they would go on through the canyon to the coast. But what happened was, like you said, they would make these really nice little baskets. I've got one here to show. And later at Pepe's, we're going to take this. And if anybody comes
Pepe's
out the
today
Pepe's,
for
we're gonna,
Craig's coming to lunch with stuff to,
yeah,
to
we've
sell
got
cheap
stuff to show.
Oh, and by the way, just as a side note, you're going to give a $20 gift certificate to anybody that shows up?
Yeah, that's right.
Whoa.
We've got to stack them. And if we run out, we'll make it on a napkin or something.
But between 12:30 and 2 o'clock today,
right,
anybody rolls out to Pepe's, 6761 Donovan, this man is going to give you a $20 certificate.
Yeah, it's like a $20
to
bill.
To his store.
That's right.
Now, it's not a 20-buck thing for Pepe's. We got that separate today.
But he's got a deal, I think. He's going to give everybody some kind of a special rate, special deal on lunch.
Oh, we do. There is. And that today, by the way, is Roll Tacos is the special at Pepe's today.
That's what I'm going to get.
Roll Tacos.
By the way, why are his chicken enchiladas so good?
Because he makes them nicely and freshly.
Man, they are good.
They really are.
Yeah, Lorena stands over and makes sure.
The wife is really kind of like in charge of a lot of stuff. Pepe,
yeah,
does a lot of work, but
as it should be.
And his name is on the door.
And they're great people.
Oh, they really
are.
We went out
there
Wednesday.
Yeah.
But we got off on our story here. But
what were we talking about?
We'll have to pick that up after the break.
Okay.
Yes, we do.
Remember
have to
what it was.
We do have other things we have to do.
But we had these people running up in Colorado, and they got the wrong shoes because they were given nice food.
Oh, about the train and their things they make, their handcrafts.
That's what.
Okay.
Finish that real quick. Oh, no. What happened when the trains came? That'll be after the break here.
Yes.
Because right now we got to do trivia.
Yes, we do.
Are you ready for trivia?
Yes, I'm ready for trivia.
You're always trivial.
I'm
in
trivial,
your own way.
Very trivial pursuing, yes. Okay.
What?
The first one is, what famous canyons in Mexico do the Tahamata live in?
We know what that is.
We went through that one, yes.
And,
okay.
And
the second one is, what long-distance sport are the Tahamata famous for?
Oh, how can we cover that and not give away stuff?
Yeah, and if you don't get these, you're all staying after school today.
But the thing is, this is an interesting group of people. Mm-hmm. That a lot of their artifacts are in the store now known as Mission Del Rey Southwest.
That's right.
And we'll get to some of those details in a bit. But the backup history here is quite unusual to have somebody create this out of a missionary.
That's right.
And this store is incredible. We got some eyewitnesses to that store we're going to be talking to.
That's right.
Well.
And so this is for a $20 gift certificate to Pepe's or to Mission Del Rey for the first caller. And they'll have a choice on one of those. And so they can do this by calling us at 915-544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great.
Way. It is amazing.
Open arms, hey, welcoming people, and he's aimed east. And that's how that works.
It's just,
there.
When you get up there, it's amazing.
I had a guy talk to here, in here years ago on the radio, and he'd been climbing up there, 30 years. And he told me it was a crucifix, and I said, I can show you a picture. And he thought it was, but it wasn't. Never has been, so. That's a different way to look at religion.
Can a regular person Make it up there?
Anybody. Yeah, you just have to get up there early and go. It's a fairly easy hike. It's a little, the first part of it's kind of a little tough going up, but once you get up the Switchback Trail, it's really easy. And
That'd be fun to do.
It is amazing.
People pushing children in carts.
And people have crawled.
And some people on their knees and some people barefoot.
Is that right?
It's a two and a half mile each way, wow. So think about that first. But, I mean, they do run Jeeps up and down there. It's just wide enough for a Jeep and one person.
Okay.
Not knock them off the edge.
I'd rather walk.
Well, we did a video called El Paso's Mount Cristo Rey, and you know why we called it El Paso's Mount Cristo Rey, even though it's in New Mexico? It was built by El Pasoans. It was the El Paso Diocese when it was built.
So it's ours.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah. And ours could include New Mexico now.
Yeah.
So there. Craig Chambers is here. We're talking about all kinds of interesting things coming out of Mexico, mainly Tarahumara Indians, but also you run the store, Mission Del Rey Southwest.
Right.
And how did that all get together? Because we left it to train in one conversation here. The people were coming by, tourists coming by train, and whatever.
We should get back there. But basically, Mission Del Rey, we say it in English that way, and we write it with two S's in the word mission. But in Spanish, they would say something more like Misión Del Rey. Okay, and mission of the king. Rey in Spanish is king. So it's the mission of the king or the king's mission. And so we used that name when we were there living in Mexico. And then as we began to have more and more products, and I'll tell you how that happened, we decided, you know, the theme was Southwest. Southwest decor, Southwest everything. So it became Mission Del Rey Southwest.
Your story is.
Yeah. But here's how it started. We talked about the train that started to come through in the early 60s. And tourists began to come down. And what would happen is, I think we mentioned that the Tarahumara are very hands-on people, crafty people, and they would make baskets like we have here and these bateas and ollas, and they would actually cook with these. Now, this is decorative. It's got a piece of leather around there, but if they used that to cook, it wouldn't have that leather. And you can see the burn marks on the pot there, the way they fire that.
This is great radio. Fire. Yeah, great radio.
Yeah, you can see none of it, right? But yet,
hold it up to the microphone, my God.
I held it up, but yeah, come by the store and you can see that. But what would happen is these dear folks would work hard, have this stuff. If there was a bad spring, no rain, or if they had a hard early fall, if they didn't have a good harvest, they didn't have food. I mean, literally, most of their life was just consumed with eating and living. And, yeah. You know, the things that we do now are such luxuries compared to them.
Oh, yeah.
But they would make these little handcrafted dolls, ollas, these little baskets. They would go sit by the train, and as the tourists would get off, they'd have a 15-minute break or whatever, get on the train and go again. Well, they would sell these things to them. And it worked out pretty good. So in a good week, they could make some money. And then they would use that money and go into town and go buy, you know, beans and rice and flour and sugar and coffee and stuff that we all need, staples. But on a bad week, they had the stuff left over and no money and no food. And we began to see that. And these people became our friends. And so we wanted to help them. And everything that we did to work with the people always included food, no matter what else. If we were helping them with clothing, or sometimes we'd go help put roofs on their houses or whatever. But it always included a meal or some kind of food, because famine is just a real big part of their life down there. And so we began to realize, hey, they've got this stuff. They're willing to work. It's really neat little handcrafts. And we thought, let's see if somebody in the United States would like to buy these, and we can start to funnel this money back to them and help them. So we started what we called the Helping Hands. And so they were making the handcrafts. We would begin to buy bulk things like beans and rice and flour on 50-pound bags. And so every week they would come in, and if they didn't do well, they would have this stuff left over, and we would trade. We'd take their handcrafts. I'd say, well, what's that worth? You know, what do you want for that? And they'd tell me, and we'd give them that equivalent amount of whatever they needed, cooking oil or whatever it might be. So we started a little general store, started to trade with them like that. It became very popular, and it grew and grew. And before long, we had a house full of this stuff. And then we realized, hey, we love it, but we got to get some help. So we began to tell other people about it. And where we lived in a little adobe house that didn't have a phone line. And when we first moved there, we had none of those kind of things. Didn't even have running water except what we could store in a tank. But after a while, down in town, they had some hotels, and one of them had a phone line and got the internet and put in one of those old dial-up Modems. Remember
what,
that?
What year is this?
This was about 1994 or 5, somewhere in there.
Dial-up internet,
1994. Yeah, you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Ring, ring, all
yeah.
that. Yeah.
yeah,
right, yeah.
Whatever.
So we, anyway, this hotel put in a little thing where you could use the computer. Deb and I went down there and sat for hours with that dial-up thing and put some, about 8 of these different items on eBay. And we thought, well, let's see if somebody wants to buy them, then we'll, you know, it'll be helpful. So we did that, and sure enough, people liked it, and they bought those things. And, you know, we put right in the listing, you know, we're missionaries, we're located 450 miles below El Paso, we'll come once a month up to the border and bring all the stuff and ship it from there. And so that's how it started, with just 8 little products on eBay, and now we have over 8,000 and ship all over the world.
And you're based in El Paso, and
yeah,
it's called
right
Mission
here.
Del Rey Southwest.
Yeah, right
and it's
there.
On, it's on, actually, entrance Pelicano, but the address is Lee Trevino.
You know, we started with the internet, right?
Yeah.
And so for over 20 years, we've sold just exclusively on the internet. And then when our friends over at El Paso Saddle Blanket decided to close their big store, people in town needed a place to go for stuff.
This is it.
Yeah, and they asked, you know, can we, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to have a store? And we said, yeah, we're going to turn our warehouse into a store.
Away you go.
And so that's what happened.
Craig Chambers is here. We got to take a break. This is interesting stuff. We got to do this again for the next hour as well. We got a little more this hour. 544
yeah.
whatever.
5876 or 544 KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexico items for gifts and decor. Bring your friends and mention you heard us on the radio for a store-wide discount. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino. Enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com or call 915-440-2140 for Mission Del Rey Southwest.
Message and data rates may apply.
Help! Seriously, I'm too young for hair loss.
My hairline keeps creeping back. Receding?
I've got this bald spot. It's thinning everywhere. I'm gonna have to give up and shave it.
Dude, put down the razor, because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert, is about to give you your real hair back permanently. Don't ignore the signs of hair loss. Bosley is giving away an absolutely free information kit that reveals all the signs and a free gift card to anyone who texts SECRET to 85850. Bosley will show you for free how great your hair could look. Using the latest technology, Bosley's solution to hair loss is permanent and protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Plus, since Bosley has new non-surgical options, you owe it to yourself to text now for an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off, no matter what level of hair loss you have. Text SECRET to 85850. That's SECRET to 85850.
Indeed, used by over 3 million businesses for hiring, where business owners and HR professionals can post job openings with screener questions, then sort, review, and communicate with candidates from an online dashboard. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, by Monterey Asset Management, by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping, by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History, with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We got a couple of minutes in this hour, and Craig Chambers will be here next hour. Plus, we're going to pull in some testimonials from some people who have gone to his store recently. That should be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But let you know.
I hope they're good.
Well, they better be, or we'll throw them out. What do you think?
Get out. Yeah.
But actually, I don't see I could get a bad rating over there, because it's an unusual
place. It's an amazing place.
It really is. Okay, tell you about the last Sunday hike tomorrow, and that's at 7 a.m. Oh, goodness, I don't think I'll make that. But if you want to go, you can meet at the Thousand Steps Trail, 4999 North Stanton, and you can hike 1,000 steps up to the guardhouse and back down, 3 hours, bring water, sturdy shoes, weather-appropriate clothing, snacks optional, walking stick, and you call Diana Moy at the Tramway, 562-9899, you realize what she's doing. She's coming all the way around the mountain to come to the Stanton Street side.
I'm going to the 20 steps.
Uh-huh. I'll go to the 3 steps.
20 steps to the coffee machine and back.
She's coming all the way around the mountain to run that hike. What do you got?
I'm going to go kill someone. No, actually, what
you
it
heard
is...
Here,
yeah, I heard it here, yes. No, the Sunset Film Society and the International Museum of Arts not going to have a film today. You know, they usually have their film going on every Saturday at 2 o'clock. But tonight, they're going to have a live murder mystery party. Live versus dead. Okay, so it's going to be at 7 p.m. It sounds like it'll be a lot of fun, and it's going to be a fundraiser. And so I suggest you go on out there. It'd be a lot of fun. I haven't heard of many of those lately. So head on out, and the next week they're going to have the movies are coming back at 2 p.m., and with being Dia de los Muertos, this will be a lot of fun. Thriller at Alfred Hitchcock Presents, and that'd be get you ready for Dia de los Muertos. So if you have questions, call them out there at 543-6747. But the live murder mystery sounds like a lot of fun. I've performed in murder mysteries. Those are fun.
They wander around the museum, don't they?
Yes. Well, they wander around the museum, and they have clues, and you know, you talk to people, you try to figure out who killed who.
You have to step over bodies, that kind of thing?
Yes.
No, you don't.
Yes,
it's not that bad.
You do.
You do?
You do in some cases. Oh, yeah. Yes, we had a dead body in ours. In fact, we got the police after us on one because they heard the gun. We shot out the back door, and they came up and go, what? Who got shot?
You happen to have a dead body here.
Yes, we do.
And the police solved a murder mystery, and you went to jail.
That's right.
No,
yes.
They didn't have it. Okay, no.
He was on his bicycle. It was hard taking us all on that bike down the hill.
It's kind of weird history in El Paso, but the International Museum of Art is really an interesting place.
We're entertaining.
It was originally the El Paso Museum of Art, and they made a new one, cooked it up, put it downtown. So the old one turned into a nonprofit group, picked it up. And that's an interesting place to go take a look at.
Great place to do.
Do we have time for Joe? All right, let's take it. Joe, we got about a minute. What's on your mind?
Joe, this is Joe. I was just calling to let that gentleman know that I went to his store last week, that Southwest. It's one of the best stores around here right now.
All right.
Fabulous. Mission Del Rey Southwest is the full name of it. And you found it. You didn't? Did you enter in Pelicano? I bet you
yes,
did.
Yes. That's yes. And I just want to comment that it's a little bit hidden, so... I don't know, maybe think I'm putting a bigger sign somewhere because...
They have a plan, yes.
Yeah, he has a plan.
And thank you for calling, but we're going to move on here, and you know what we're going to do? We're going to put it on the radio. See you next hour.
Bye, Joe.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for archived copies of this radio show. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.